The following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
This week's Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and as usual, our focus today is going to be on understanding the REP, the Real Estate Private Partnership, specifically multifamily, and today we're going to talk about a transaction that's in the capital raise mode currently. And I'm going to discuss, what I see when I take a look at these private placement memorandums. And I'm going to talk also about who qualifies to invest in a transaction like the one today. And hopefully you'll start to understand which ones you might be eligible to invest in. It all depends on your status as either accredited or non-accredited investor under the crowdfunding statute that the SEC enforces. And so we'll talk a little bit about that. We'll show you some of the options that almost everybody has, provided they have the requisite capital that's being sought by the syndicator. It's still feasible for most people to invest. It just may not be in certain transactions due to the section of the SEC statute that they're offered under. But in any event, before we talk about that, I wanted to make sure we remember that just because you listen to this show today, or you'd see us on a website, you send us a contact us, you opt in on an email, you fill out our forms at the intake link on our baplanner.com website. None of that makes you a client of Nathan Ross CPA or NP Ross CPAs and assorted other NP Ross group that you might find information online on, etc. And so if you want to do that, you need to connect with us. Again, the link at the top right of our website is how we start the process of developing potentially a relationship, a consulting relationship, a tax planning relationship, perhaps tax preparation, etc. We've got to know more about you before we can comment on specifics as to your facts and circumstances. So in any event, let's see. We've got about 5 minutes before the first break. It's amazing how fast that gets here. But let's talk about generally the statute that has the prerequisite for investors, and we've talked about this many times, but as I've noted over the last year and a half since we started the first Be a Planner show, the Tax Mass show on Saturdays at 5 p.m., I get literally a different crowd coming on board every week to where whatever I said last week, the week before, a year before, doesn't really matter because people tuning in today are not, they're not able to draw on having heard that show. They're coming in fresh. They don't have any idea what a 506B transaction might be or a 506C. And so that's where we're going to start. And 506B is a statute that allows anyone that qualifies as sophisticated, in other words, you could be non-accredited, but as long as you qualify as sophisticated, you'll be able to invest in this transaction. And if you look at the definition of sophisticated, I'm going to find it here on the SEC site. Give me just a minute. A sophisticated investor, as defined in Rule 506B, is any purchaser who is not an accredited investor, either alone or with his purchaser representatives, such as a registered investment advisor, a broker, or, yes, a CPA. But together, the purchaser with that representative has such knowledge and experience in financing and business matters that he or she is capable of evaluating the merits and risk of the potential investments, or the issuer reasonably believes immediately prior to making any sale that such purchaser comes within this description. Notice that under 506B, that there is no general solicitation or general advertising permitted. And that's whether or not you're accredited or non-accredited, i.e. sophisticated. So even the accredited investor is unable to walk up at the last minute because somebody told him about the transaction and invest in it if it's offered under Section 506B. Let's contrast that with 506C. These transactions do allow advertising and direct solicitation, and that this all came about under the Jobs Act. I believe it was in the Obama era that occurred. Section 201 required the SEC to eliminate the prohibition on using general solicitation or advertising where all purchasers of the securities meet the accredited investor test. And so, you know, the issuer has to take some reasonable steps to verify that. You can't necessarily allow self-certification, but say you're CPA, your lawyer, your accountant, I mean your attorney, et cetera, can attest to that. And so that's something we do with our clients, you know, once we've developed a relationship and we know through, you know, reviewing tax returns, personal financial statements, et cetera, that they've got at least $1 million liquid net worth. In other words, it can't be the equity in your home. That changed a while ago. It used to be the case that you could include that. And under 506C, all the investors have to be accredited. There's no number of non-accrediteds that can participate. Under 506B, there's a 35-investor limit to the number of non-accrediteds that can participate, and then an unlimited number of accredited. But it's important to understand, and I know a lot of accredited investors that don't understand this rule, the rule that dictates having to have the prior relationship requirement, we'll talk about that when we come back from our break, but the difference is even though you're accredited and on a 506C transaction, you can be advertised to or solicited, even though you're accredited, again, you cannot do that on 506B. So if the way you hear about a transaction is not directly from the syndicator because you've signed up in their portal or you've invested with them previously, you won't be able to participate when you hear one of your friends or maybe your accountant says, you know, hey, there's a transaction here you need to be aware of. Well, if your accountant understands the rule, that's to be aware of it for the next deal that comes out from that syndicator. So go get signed up on the portal. You'll be in position then where you'll get notified when that occurs. And assuming you've completed whatever that syndicator requires to create that, quote, prior relationship, that's an SEC term, by the way, then you'll be able to participate. But in any event, we'll pick up on more 506B versus 506C criteria here in a moment. And we'll be right back with more of the Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. I was gonna be rich no matter how much it cost. And I was gonna win
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, focuses exclusively on helping investors understand the current options for investing. The syndication arena has changed. You can now take advantage of direct online investing options without expensive upfront membership fees. Nathan Ross, CPA, discusses these options and more, including the math involved with partnership selection, reporting, and performance. On the Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, Sundays at 7 a.m. right here on KSEV. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
There wasn't nothing but a heartache in the middle of a bad dream. Like I took on the whole world and I never had a chance, girl. And Lord, I tried to be forgiving, but getting by don't mean you're living. And on that highway going nowhere was an exit overdue.
Okay, welcome back to this week's Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross. It's the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And we were just in that introduction discussing the 506B versus the 506C offerings. And again, the biggest misnomer that I encounter with investors is that they think that due to their accredited status, that they can literally avoid that prior relationship rule that the SEC enforces. And again, if the offering is made under 506B, you cannot avoid that. It's everybody that's in the transaction has to have a prior relationship. How do we get the prior relationship? That's loosely defined, but let's just say in these days and times with the internet, that's usually how it occurs. And, you know, when you go sign up on a portal, and as an example, I think I gave two portals out last week that I would suggest anybody that's interested in this space sign up on. And again, these are not endorsements. I want to be very clear. I don't sell investments. I don't receive commissions for giving you information like I'm getting ready to give you. Occasionally, I may invest in a transaction that I'm also consulting in. Done that once so far, considering it on others. And one of these two portals is one that I did it with, and I'll indicate that. Let that not affect your decision, because I am never going to tell you pick A over E or F. I'm going to suggest to you that here's an interpretation of what the math looks like. That's what I can do, is help educate you as to the math. Most of the listeners of this show and my existing clients are smart enough people that when somebody hands them the math, they can do 2 + 2 or whatever it takes. And it's not much more than that once somebody's figured out where all the snakes are buried in the syndication documents and has assessed the fees like we're going to go into today on a transaction that's going on down in Miami and offered through one of the local Houston platforms. Of course, like everything else that platform does, there's no reason to join it. You can invest directly with the syndicator. It's just a matter of you being in the know on where that transaction is accessible. And that's something we help our clients do routinely. You know, if you're not working with a CPA that focuses on this space, which you're probably not, because I don't know of any others that are doing what I do. I wish there were a few. I'd like to add them to the team. If any of you know of any that understand retirement plan taxation, real estate private partnership, zero tax math, and just basic real estate tax rules, send them my way. I'm looking for people to help us grow. But in any event, the distinction again is to prior relationship. And by the way, this has been reaffirmed by the SEC, not yesterday, but within the last, I can't remember, it was either 2015, 2017, the Citizens VC letter request that the SEC acted on. They issued a no action letter, which basically means that they thought the question being posed to them, where they explain the rule, how they enforce it, they said this entity appears to be doing it correctly, so there's no action required. But all I'm trying to tell you is that rule, even though it's 5 years ago or 7 years ago, whatever it is, I think it was 2015 actually, it's still in play. And if a syndicator tells you, which I hear occasionally, oh no, that's not relevant here because your clock doesn't start ticking until you ask me about, are you doing any capital raises right now that I participate in? Well, that's not generally how the industry assesses when does the capital raise commence, because that's when you're barred from crossing that line if you don't already have a existing or prior relationship. And I know there's some syndication law firms that take the approach that when the syndicator signs their engagement letter to start working on the private placement memorandum, that which is normally the first document, that's the commencement of the offering having commenced, even though they haven't put it in front of any folks that have a prior relationship. That's like the onset. And I'm not sure I agree that it's at that moment. I've always thought that the start point was when they first make the private placement memorandum public, and therefore someone actually has an opportunity to invest. I don't necessarily look at, an attorney working on a set of syndication docs. Those may be documents that never see the light of day. I mean, you know, a syndicator may start on that process before they're even under contract on a purchase, or at least it's been accepted. But be that as it may, I think it shows you the seriousness of this rule. And so when you have a syndicator that apparently isn't aware of that, and it's not their fault generally. I would fault counsel that they're working with. And when counsel acts like, well, gee, what's the prior relationship rule? That's a problem if they don't understand that. But in any event, a couple syndicators that I would suggest it makes sense for you to get on their list is McCann Investments, based in Houston. That's McConInvestmentGroup.com. Natalie Pilkington is their VP of Investor Relations. And you again can find them at McConInvestmentGroup.com. Sign up. You're under no obligation to invest, but you will fill out a form that explains a little bit about what your investment objectives are, et cetera, to commence that development of that, quote, prior relationship to allow you to invest on certain transactions. Again, if you're non-accredited, you're still only going to be able to invest in transactions that originate under the 506B statute. You will not be able to participate under 506C unless you're accredited. And by the way, the definition of accredited, that $1 million liquid net worth that I mentioned, that's not the only way. There are some other ways. The most common, in addition to the net worth test, is your annual income has to exceed, if you're married filing joint, it's $300,000 for the past 2 years, and you need to be able to reasonably stipulate that your current year will end up in that level or higher. If you're single, it's a $200,000 threshold. So, and then there's assorted other ways. If you're a registered investment advisor, you're automatically accredited, and I can't remember the five or six other categories, but most of my clients and investors fall under either the net worth test or the annual income test. But again, and I want to be clear again, I don't sell investments for McConn Investment Group. or any syndicator, and I don't tell you you should go invest in any of their projects. I suggest you become familiar with them. You look at the transactions that come out. You have someone lined up to help you analyze the math. You know, if it's not us, it's somebody that works in this space often, and they understand what the terms of a PPM represent. They understand the code words that are embedded in these things that kind of, you know, pique your radar at times. And, you know, you want to make sure that you can rely on someone else catching not just mistakes. Those happen pretty routinely, but, you know, material mistakes. And, you know, I can cite things like, you know, on multiple tiers or entities within a transaction, fees are duplicated in those operating agreements or the PPMs, things that actually cost you money, big amounts of money, if they're not corrected, and then the operation of that partnership or partnerships, as the case may be, fall into the wrong hands. Maybe the lead partner has an early demise. Maybe they get voted out at some point because they're not performing. And all of a sudden, you've got a new person that walks up, and they're now the lead partner. And what they know is that the operating agreement is the operations guide. That's what they must execute as they go down the road. And if they've got bad information in them, and as I mentioned, duplicitous fees in the case of the one that I was looking at, all of a sudden their hands are pretty much bound, because operating agreements, every one of them have a provision referred to as the entire agreement, quote unquote provisions, usually towards the end, where you indicate when you sign that document as a new partner or new member, if it's an LLC, you are stipulating that that document and the PPM related to it have all the terms and conditions that apply to the operation of this project, this activity, regardless of what you may have been told on an investment webinar or what you may have heard on a phone call, or you were emailed by the VP of Investor Relations or the syndicator, him or herself. None of that matters if you get into a court of law. All that matters is what's in the agreements that you executed, and that's why it's critical that you understand what you're signing up for throughout that transaction, all the different levels, if there's more than one, which there usually is. It's real common these days that there be co-syndication taking place, or effectively co-syndication, where maybe the syndication you're looking at is purchasing a 30% interest in the asset, not 100. And so you've got to be really careful. Again, I keep saying, understand what you're signing up for, because it's significant in terms of whether you're going to see the returns that you think you are. And someone needs to check that math to make sure that you're looking at the partner level returns and not the project level. And that's something that I see all the time, where all the wonderful slide deck that defines what this partnership is projecting financially will occur is displayed at the partnership level, the project level, not down at the investor level. And you have to understand, the syndicator, the management team, they're getting a chunk of that investment, you know, into their pocket. And then there may be a private equity piece. We're seeing this more and more as people, you know, go after bigger and bigger complexes. You know, we have $100 million+ transactions now. We're used to my clients that were in these local investment membership platforms. I call them old school travel agent type platforms, because, you know, fewer and fewer people are joining those platforms because there's no need to, if it's simply for you to get access to private real estate partnerships. We can do that direct now. It's like everything else in the world. I like the travel agent example, because everybody purchases your tickets now through something like Google Flights or Kayak. You know, it's just a better way to research. It's a better way to purchase. And, there's no reason to involve a travel agent. Well, there's no reason to involve an investment platform with $20,000 membership fees to get access to quality syndicated real estate partnerships. And we show you how to do that. We provide information. And, oh, speaking of that, by the way, the second platform, I got sidetracked, is pilot-legacy.com. That's www.pilot-legacy. That is Lane Bean is the syndicator, and Lane's done some interesting projects, top quality class A type assets, if that's your thing. And I'm not suggesting it need to be. There's nothing wrong with a good, well-built Class C apartment building that's in the right spot, like McCann's latest or one of their latest transactions on Memorial Drive. They're next to St. Thomas High School. It's called Bayou Park, built in 1971. Yeah, I was 11 years old back then. It's hard to believe. Think of all the money that's come into whoever owned those units' pockets over the years. And that's that transaction was a trophy property. The land value on that $120 million transaction was about $98 million. It's kind of the flip-flop. That's about a 20-80 mix on land or on buildings versus land, when normally you're looking at 80-20. I mean, it's literally the inverse, which means, well, it means two things. It means there's not going to be nearly as much depreciation that's generated because we don't depreciate land. But it also means that you've got significant, I mean significant, downside risk in the market because land, as you know, around Houston generally has gone up. Downtown, midtown, those areas, it's skyrocketed. And so, again, an unusual transaction, but one that will take the trade-off. And then the other thing that you might consider, you've heard me talk about Roth conversions a lot over the last 6 months or so, both shows, and you know, you might not get quite as big a discount if the land value is high on valuing that transaction for purposes of converting your pre-tax dollars if you invested using retirement funds and you want to do what I think is a smart play here over the next 5 years or so, which is incrementally offload pre-tax dollars over into the Roth side of a self-directed 401 trust at a significant discount to what your investment is. You might have invested $100,000, but for purposes of converting to Roth, you may be paying tax on 50 to maybe as little as 30 or 40. This transaction is probably going to be closer to 50 because you're not going to get some of the massive discount in value due to the building component. I mean, you could theoretically get 5 years down the road and just be selling the land for a significant price to where whoever's buying it's buying it for the land value, not the building or the rental flow. And it's amazing what prices have skyrocketed to. The other thing I was going to mention, the Pilot Legacy Group tends to do more 506B transactions. So again, you know, I can tell you right now there's a transaction they're doing in San Antonio. It's called the Lila, but you can't participate in it unless you happen to be hearing this and you've already signed up at pilotlegacy.com before that PPM came out. Now, again, I'm not going to tell you don't ask. I'm just telling you that's what the 506B rules state under SEC rule 504, I believe, is where that's identified, if I remember right. In any event, let's see, I was just checking that. Hang on just a second. Yeah, 504 is the rule that defines that. What I was going to suggest, you know, that when you go out, obviously, to the internet and you search on real estate private partnerships or syndicated investments, you're going to see hundreds of offerings. And I guess, you know, what I'm so careful about warning people, just because you can invest direct doesn't mean you should invest direct. And I'm going to tell you, for newbies that think you're going to do this on your own, you really should consider joining a platform that provides you value in terms of helping you understand these investments. And unfortunately, many of the platforms are a mixed bag. And, you know, when you hear platforms that talk about wealth, have wealth in their name, you know, the focus is on creating wealth. I'm going to tell you, most of what you hear on the radio from those types of old school travel agent type platforms are 180 degrees the other way. And I'm going to suggest to you, if the transactions they're offering are not exclusive, where the person that operates that platform, and this is an and condition, this is not an or condition, where they understand syndications, and unfortunately many of them don't, and that's my biggest criticism, is that you hear people on the radio that are great salespeople, and they think they're great motivational people, and I guess that's up to you to decide if they motivate you or not. But I'm going to tell you, you need to make sure they understand syndications and it's not just talk. And a dead giveaway is if you're looking at joining a platform that allows syndicators to charge the unconscionable fees that we're seeing now in this asset space, and then look you in the eye and act like it's industry standard or industry norm, I'm going to suggest you turn and walk the other way, because it is not industry standard. It is not industry norm unless you allow it to be. And again, I don't, you know, when I figure out the math on these transactions, I make sure my clients understand this is how much money is coming in front of you getting your money back. Does that something that you want to sign up for? Because that's what's happening, regardless of how appealing it's made to sound on the investment webinar, the investment seminar, and the PPM. And I'm going to suggest to you that the fees that come out ahead of your money directly impact. I don't care how they claim the deal is structured or underwritten. Trust me, the lender does not underwrite syndicator fees. That is coming out of your money. There's no other way to explain it. And I'm going to explain, I'm going to start talking now about a transaction, and I'm not going to identify the property. I'm just going to tell you it's based in Miami. It's a 300-plus unit property. It's a big property, and it's got about a $96 million purchase price. So think of that in context. So you've got a $96 million purchase price. You've got a $35 million capital raise, $35 million. And the fees that are being charged, just to put this in perspective so you'll understand how critical this is, are the following. And these are the day zero fees, and then which means at closing, money is being wired to the syndicator's account based on you having agreed to these fees. And there's an acquisition fee based on $107 million transaction. That's actually, that's got the rehab added on. So $96 million purchase, but, you know, the rehab is added, I believe it's rehab, to get to the total $107,200. There's a 2% acquisition fee on the entirety of the acquisition. It's not just the purchase price. It's everything added up all in. $2.68 million day zero. There's a loan guarantee fee. Again, day zero, $1.6 million. Think about that. That's $4.2 million right at the start, where nothing has happened yet. And before you syndicators start whining about how much time and how much effort and how much out of pocket that you've had to spend to put that deal together, I'm going to remind you that 2 years ago, there were none of these fees. And in fact, if you've been in business that long, Mr. Syndicator, go back and look at your transactions 2 years ago. And unless you were ahead of the curve, which shame on you if you were, you'll see that there was no acquisition fee. There was no loan guarantee fee. There was no construction management fee. There was no capital raise fee. There were no refinance fees. There were no disposition fees. There was a promote. That's the override that the syndicator is handed on day one. And I don't mean because they invested a lot of their money. This private placement memorandum does not display $1 of investment by the syndicator. That's unconscionable that this syndicator has no money, no skin in the game, as we say. And I'm just telling you, that in and of itself is a reason to walk away. Now, if they are investing money, normally they're going to be trumpeting that from the rooftop, you know, early and often in these private placement memorandums. Maybe they're, I don't know, they're shy. Maybe they're just shy and they don't want you to know that they're putting $3 million in. I rather doubt it, okay? And so $4.2 million coming out on day one. And then here's a clever thing. This is rather remarkable. The asset management fee that's being taken is 0.015. That's 0.015. I'm sorry, 0.015 times the capital raise, $35 million. Now, the reason this is notable, it's not just the $529,500 annual fee. It's paid monthly, $44,125. That's not the reason it's notable. It should be in and of itself. That's a lot of money to be paid every year to manage the property manager, basically. That's what they're doing, which there's another fee for that. I believe that's a 4% annual fee, if I recall. But normally an asset management fee, if you look at the way the entire industry works, at least that I've reviewed hundreds, if not thousands, of transactions over the last 20 years, is you take a percentage, usually 2% is common for the gross rental collections each month. That's 2%. Well, if it were 2%, the annual asset management fee in this case would be $157,000. But no, these guys are basing it on the capital raise, and which is much higher. It's almost four times higher. And I've never seen this on a transaction. I'm not saying I know everything there is to know in the syndication space. I learn something new every day, just like I learned here's an approach that the average investor doesn't even think about this. They don't even understand what the norm is. And these guys are able to siphon off over 5 years, which is the projected hold. That's another almost, let's see, 2.5, but it's almost $2.7 million. That's crazy. That's coming out of money that, remember, you still hadn't gotten your capital back, most likely. Yeah, they've got a preferred waterfall for the passive, but, you know, again, it's all almost irrelevant when these kind of dollars are coming out off the top. And so, in any event, the disposition fee, well, let's see, the construction management fee, I don't think I made a note of what that was, but it's significant. Yeah, I don't see the construction management fee right off the bat. But anyway, the disposition fee is on the high side. And I guess, you know, I'm willing to understand that a disposition fee on a $20 million sell might be a little bit higher. But the disposition fee on what I'm going to assume, just because I'm doing some an extrapolation on what it would take to otherwise hit the targets that they're saying might occur, I'm going to suggest there's at least Let's see here. I'm showing $4.5 million in disposition fees. So if it's 4.5 million divided by 0.03, that would mean it's about a four. Well, that's not right. Hang on here. 4.5 million divide by 0.03. That would be $150 million sales price to get to 4.5. Now, again, they may not be targeting 4.5, but what I looked at is what's it going to take to return the dollars that they're saying they can return. And, you know, that's something the syndicators, you have to understand, you might suggest, well, you know, they're just projecting, they're just targeting, that's the common word now. You know, that may be true, but they're doing this in the context of underwriting this acquisition. They've got to sell this story to a lender, and that's a good thing. Typically, because lenders are the ones that are going to say yes or no. But essentially, for them to claim that level of, 3% of $100 million would still be $3 million. That's a lot of money. But, you know, people don't buy these properties at $96 million to turn around and sell them at $100. And so I would suggest $150 is a lot more near what they're trying to accomplish. And so that means moving the needle on the net operating income, because remember, the biggest single component of what you're able to sell something at is how much you can affect that NOI. We'll pick up on this in a moment. I need to get to the last break, so let's go ahead and take one. We'll be back here in just a few minutes with the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing, I mean nothing, honey, if it ain't free. No, no. And feeling good was easy, love, when he sang the blues. You know, feeling good was good enough for me. Good enough for me and my Bobby,
Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be a Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross right here on AM 700 KSEV.
Big dreams and faded jeans.
Okay, welcome back to the last segment of the Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show. We've got about 7 or 8 minutes here. So I was going to suggest, tying a nice, neat bow around this transaction. This transaction would literally have to generate buying it at a point where its net operating income is about $4.2 million. It's going to need to improve up to about $5.7 million, which is a pretty hefty jump in 5 years. It's not impossible. But I guess, again, you look at these fees, and I want to be very clear because, I get slaughtered by syndicators when they hear this message. They hear we're charging too much in fees. And no, that's incorrect. You're not charging too much in fees. You're probably not charging enough. And you're going to say, wait a minute, what have you just been ranting and railing about? I'm ranting and railing about the timing on these fees. And when you're pulling them out ahead of the passive investor, that's where I've got a problem with it. And I'm going to tell you right now, the two questions that I suggest every one of you folks that invest in these syndications ask at the seminar, the investment webinar, ask it publicly. Be polite, but ask these two questions. Ask if the syndicator is willing to guarantee you the returns that they're targeting, keyword targeting, on your investment in this transaction. And of course, there's not a syndicator in America that's going to say, yes, I'll guarantee that, because they're going to say, well, we don't control the market. We're all counting on a lot of market cooperation or assistance is the buzzword. I get that. And so why would you ask the investor, us, to guarantee your fees on day zero when you haven't done one thing towards executing this transaction in a fashion that makes us money? And so that just kind of catches syndicators in their tracks. It's a lot of deer in the headlight looks. And that's my point. And so the second question is, well, okay, I get it. You can't control the market, but you can guarantee me that you will give me my profits back as you're taking yours, maybe just ahead of you, which is what the owner of Macon Investments was willing to do on the Memorial Drive transaction, Bayou Park. He was willing to think about this, and we modified the timing, didn't change the amount of money he was taking out. If he gets to the finish line that he's projecting, he will make as much or more as what he was going to get. It's just the timing. And those are the kind of syndicators you want to work with. And it may not be the next transaction or the third one down the line, but just understand that that mindset, if it's deployed in the next transaction or the one you're looking at, that's worth a lot of money in most situations, because again, it's timing, and it puts the emphasis where it needs to be on the syndicator respecting the passive investor as much or more as he does his own. And I'll just tell you, it's shameful when you ask that second question to these syndicators to watch them try to scramble and explain why they won't do that. And I'm just telling you, there is no good answer. You turn and walk away. Syndicators are like trains coming into the train station. There'll be another one coming 10 minutes later. Just sit tight, and you're going to get a transaction that at least puts you on a level playing field with that syndicator. And again, it's nothing about the fees other than the timing. Hey, if you can make so much more money, if you've got the magic touch and you're the syndicator that for whatever reason can take a dollar, I know after 20 years, I know what a dollar of capital can return on a multifamily private partnership syndication on average. And I'm just telling you, you can't take the massive fees out on day zero. It's a dilution of your capital. And if you're a syndicator hearing this, look, take the fees, stick them in a deferred account where you get paid later. And if you don't get people to the finish line where you hit the targets, you give it back. You never took it. So you put it back into the bank account of the company from being a deferred liability. And, there's more than one way to skin the cat, so to speak. And I apologize to the PETA folks that might be listening. I didn't mean it literally. But you understand what I'm saying. There's not one way or the highway here that works. There's multiple ways that we can address this issue of clawbacks on compensation that really wasn't earned. In my mind, it's not earned if you didn't hit the numbers that you said you were targeting in the investment seminar. And I understand you may not be able to. Well, hey, if you can't, then you shouldn't take the compensation that appears to be taking, or you're taking it because you're going to work your magic on this transaction. And it's just got to be consistent. It's got to be connected. And if you can't do that, good luck. I'm sure you'll find some other people that don't understand how to analyze these documents to give you their money, and I guess they'll learn the hard way, right? So anyway, but this particular transaction is one that we'll study again. I've got, I think in the next 2 to 3 weeks, I'm pretty close to pulling the trigger on doing a weekly webinar where we discuss real live events, real live offerings. They will not be free. There will be a fee if you're not an existing client. And if you're interested in that, shoot me an email to nathan@npross.com, and I'll let you know, or sign up for our email opt-in. That'd be the other way, at baplanner.com, and I will update you accordingly. But we're pretty close to being able to start that. And these will be real transactions. There'll be some requirements for you to participate, not anything that you can't handle. Maybe the fee will be something you can't handle, because it won't be $50. This is critical stuff. It has high value if you're trying to deploy your money into transactions. So connect with me on that front, and be happy to update you as we get close. We're through the end of the show again. I think we've just got a minute or so left. I appreciate you tuning in. Always a joy for me to undertake these discussions, and we hope you'll continue to listen. We hope you'll join us this coming Saturday at 5 p.m. right here on KSEV, and we hope you have a wonderful holiday tomorrow. Take time to think about the military personnel that died making our country safer, and give thanks for that. We're very fortunate. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 5 for another edition of Be a Planner Show here on AM 700 KSEV.